teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
One of my big issues with sports is nobody backs coaches anymore. Parents can go after coaches for almost any reason, and administrators less and less have their coaches backed. We've seen coaches lose their jobs, told their contracts are not going to be renewed, and then given no reason, and many don't have the financial resources to sue and try to maintain their jobs. But right now, there's been a big controversy that's really overwhelmed the town of Westport. Everybody in the town has been talking about it, and I know people outside the town, I'm hearing a lot from coaches elsewhere. It's really been the talk of the FCAC, and that has been the dismissal of Staples boys soccer coach Russell Oost-Levensa. Incident that started back in August. It's a complex case, and I've got a good cast of guests here to help discuss it. But starting off right now to help me out, and he's going to be on the whole show, is the person who's really chronicled this from beginning to end, and nobody knows it better, and he's going to be my seeing eye dog for the next hour, and that's Dan Wogue. Dan, how you doing? Dan?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for joining me.
Sure. It's always great to talk with you, even though the topic, to use the technical term, sucks.
Yeah, that would be the technical term. Dan, I was going to read this if we had more time, but he wrote a very compelling piece on the 06880 blog, which is his baby. It's really become the Westport, old Westport news. It's the go-to place if you want to find out what's happening in Westport. And he's chronicled this entire situation that stems back all the way to last August with Russell. And he wrote about how hard it has been for him to be critical of Staples, to be down on Staples in Westport. And just for some context as we go to the show, imagine Derek Jeter turning on the Yankees. And that's basically what it's like for Dan to turn on to Staples Sports. So, Dan, first of all, you've written over a dozen books. I don't know how many words you've written in so many places. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No. That's the quick answer and the bad answer. And when you said that I've turned on Staples, I wouldn't characterize it that way. I think it's more a case of trying to shine a light on injustices and make sure that justice gets done. So many good people at that high school, but this is a case of people just digging in their heels, not wanting to compromise, not wanting to address issues, and through it all, the collateral damage is the kids. That's what any school is about. That's what any high school sports program is about, and they have been sort of kicked to the curb and laid to waste, and that's the real tragedy in this, besides everything that's happened to Russell, a great coach and a great guy.
I wanted to get you on, but joining us, Russell will be joining us in a little bit, as well as Steve Shackelford, a nationally renowned attorney whose son is going to be a rising captain on the team, and Robert Harrington, who is on the board of Ed in Westport. The vote, and we'll, again, it's kind of hard to talk about this without going backwards, but the board of Ed voted on a five to one vote with one abstention 13 days ago to affirm the Board of Ed's head of Board of Ed, Thomas Carice's decision not to rehire Russell. And now
actually the superintendent of schools.
Superintendent of schools, I'm sorry. The superintendent of schools, Thomas Carice. And we'll backtrack now, and Dan, I know we have a mutual friend who you said to explain this, you'd need 30 minutes. But I'll let you do the abridged version of this because you know it from beginning to end, and people need to hear it so they'll know what we're talking about. And I hope when I ask you to recount the story, you don't say I don't recall.
That's a reference to what happened during that 14-hour hearing. I will give you the Reader's Digest version. The Reader's Digest, Reader's Digest version, and I will try to make it quick. When I stepped down as head coach of the boys soccer program in 2021, Russell was my successor. He was a longtime assistant, great vision of soccer, just a marvelous soccer coach. This year, his third year as head coach, Labor Day weekend, took the team on a preseason retreat to a camp, summer camp, for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. During the course of that, where there was all kinds of competition, team bonding, that sort of thing, a senior on the team, they were playing kickball, inadvertently kicked the ball in the face of an assistant coach. The assistant coach, young guy, you know, sort of took offense. There were words, no physical altercation whatsoever. Words were exchanged, heated words. They went off in a golf cart, didn't go far. They were in full view of the whole team. They talked it out. They then, both of them apologized to the team. End of story, one would think, but not, unfortunately. A couple of days later, there's a pasta dinner and with the team, and you know, Russell mentions to the players' parents, you know, you probably heard about this. They hadn't, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. It's something that happens often in sports, argument. And again, that was that, one would think. Season goes on, 6, 7, 8 weeks later, the player in question was, you know, he was being disciplined, you know, for a couple of things on the field. And at that time, an anonymous complaint was called in to the athletic director at Staples High School, saying that Russell had not reported this altercation, this verbal altercation, and that he was negligent to do so. Russell gets suspended, along with the freshman coach who was also there, and the athletic director and principal tell the team and the parents that an investigation is ongoing to get to the bottom of this. In fact, there was no investigation. For 7 weeks, while an assistant took the team and the team went into the state tournament, there was no investigation. They interviewed the player and one other, but none of the 28 other players who were at the retreat. Season goes on, season ends. Russell and the freshman coach are still suspended. They asked, they'd been told to have no contact with players or parents. The banquet's coming up. They asked several times whether they could go to the banquet, end of season banquet, and received no response. They went to the banquet. So they were non-renewed for two reasons. Number one, not reporting this verbal altercation, and insubordination for not going to the banquet. Let me just add a couple of things. Hopefully that's the quick version. Number one, the school had contacted the Department of Children and Family Services when they learned of the altercation. DCFS within 24 hours said there was nothing to investigate. And the other part of this that's pretty interesting is that the contract and the posting for soccer coach indicates August through November. The banquet was December. They were non-renewed, received their non-renewal notice in January. It has taken another 4 months for the Board of Education to have an appeal hearing. The appeal hearing was 14 and a half hours. I'm sure Steve will talk later about evidence and witnesses that were not allowed. But the board voted 5-1 to affirm the superintendent's decision not to renew. 4 days later, there was a big walkout at Staples High School. Several hundred kids protested. Not just this, but really the way all kinds of different people are being treated. This is not just a soccer issue. It is a system-wide issue with the way employees are treated, the way the athletic department is run, and it's not going away. End of story. At least my story.
That was about as great a job of abridging this as I think possible. And this is so voluminous. I'm not doing the best job setting this up, but Dan also knows Staples soccer better than anybody. He's a former player. He covered the team for the old Westport News. As he mentioned, he was the head coach after a long time run as assistant coach, and he runs what is probably the best high school sports website in the country. Anything that Staples soccer is on there, and as I said, he's covered this. He's just done an incredible job of getting behind everything here. And we're going to take a break, but Dan, I go back to this and the incident that started this all. When you and I were kids, this happened in our backyard, and we fought and we settled it in 5 minutes, and you went on and it was never spoken about again. I know I asked you this, if when you were head coach, if this kickball incident had happened, would you have reported it?
Absolutely not. It would not have crossed my mind to report it.
But in 2025, it's a chip for our disgruntled parents to play. And that gets to my whole point of coaches and just how nobody has their backs. But we're going to take a break right now. Dan, great job setting this up. He's going to stay with us. And joining us on the other side is the person everybody's rallying behind, and that's Staples. Well, he should still be Staples coach. I'll refer to him as that, Russell Ost-Levinsa. You're listening to the Rood Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
All right, we're back and we're continuing this special episode where we deal with the situation in Westport and boys soccer coach Russell Ost-Levinsa. And joining us right now is said coach Russell. Russell, how you doing? We haven't had the chance to speak through all this, and I'm really, really sorry you've had to deal with this. I guess the first obvious question is, how are you doing, and how are you holding up with all this?
Great question. Definitely a loaded one. You know, I guess at this point it's just trying to get through, right? It's been a long journey of many ups and downs, but just trying to get through it. And simply put, to be honest with you, very upsetting time, that's for sure.
I mean, I'm sure it's a melting pot between how upset and angry you must be about being put in this situation, and at least on the other side, the way the entire town, and it really is the entire town, has rallied on your behalf.
Yeah, I mean, I've been extremely fortunate to have a lot of support, that is for sure, from a variety of areas, whether it's been where I'm working or from the town in itself. It has been nothing short of extraordinary just to hear some of the amazing messages and outpouring that I've received, seen. So, yeah, I'm quite fortunate, to say the least.
Just going back to the initial incident, Dan and I have been talking about it. Well, I wouldn't have even thought, as Dan said, to even report it. It was one of those things that happens, an argument in the heat of action, and both side, the player and the coach went aside and settled it. Case done. I'm actually even surprised you brought it up to the parents that it happened. But, you know, you look back on that, you never thought it was anything other than this kind of isolated incident that anything more needed to be made of it.
No, you know, like Dan had just reiterated, as someone who has played for Dan, right, all my years when I went through for the 4 years at Staples, being as someone who is lucky enough, you know, to go through the program and grow up in the town, you know, and take Dan or be under Dan's wing for coaching for many years prior, and just seeing it's like you reiterated, right? It's something that a lot happens in sports, and this is just another one of those things. And, you know, how it is dealt with and how it is spoken about and handled and talked about is kind of the biggest thing, the most important piece from what I've seen, and being fortunate enough, you know, to be under Dan for many years and seeing these parts. And definitely not something that I would have in a million years thought that would have turned the way it did. But, you know, like you had just put, it's just nothing that otherwise how to handle it and how to make sure to speak and work with the kids and coaches. And this is not at all the place we would have a million years thought would be. So.
And Dave, let me jump in here, Dave, if
sure.
I can, and sort of one of the values of sports, I think, is being able to help kids grow and to let them, you know, use their passion to learn life lessons. And Russell does that superbly. He's a special education teacher. He's worked with kids all his life. And this, you know, could have been a great learning experience for the player, you know, learn how to deal with adversity, learn how to solve problems. And, you know, for 2 months it was, and then it just blew up. But the, you know, you coach, we coach so that we can help kids grow and reach their potential, not, you know, to get involved in situations like this.
And unfortunately, I think the kids have been learning a lesson. That's unfortunately how the world works today, and not in the best way. Russell, a lot of people have asked, and I'm going to read a quote that you gave at that 14-hour Board of Ed meeting. Why go through this when you've been mistreated by the administration and given the circumstances, how this all started? And you're a former player, and you know that Staples Soccer, you're a member of a fraternity once you play there. From a historical sense, I can't think of too many sports programs in the state that are like Staples Boys Soccer, going back to the very beginning with Albie Loeffler. And during the Board of Ed meeting, when you were asked to explain why you still wanted the job or said why you still wanted a job, your quote was, "I can never give back what this soccer program, the players and families, have done for me as a player and coach. This is my alma mater, and I love it more than anything." And then you recounted your father's last words to you, which was, "Look after the ones who look to you." Can you just expand on that a little bit more? What Staples Soccer has meant to you from a player, from a coach, just all encompassing?
Yeah, I will definitely try. You know, you touched on a few points, but it's really to just reinforce, because it's true. I'm not going to be able to ever give back what I did. And, you know, I was in a position in my family where during my junior year, you know, especially my father had passed from cancer, but during that season had been diagnosed very suddenly. And, you know, players were ones that were helping drive me back and forth when I didn't my license at that point or anything, to be able to bring me back to the hospital, to be able to take me to rides, to be able to take me to practices, different things like this. And it was, you know, you talk about tradition, you talk about programs, but it goes much further than that. And that's why I've always reiterated to the kids when I was the coach and able to take over from Dan, I don't think people really realized what I meant when I said that this is a family, not because of just how important it is to me and how close I am to my family and how lucky I am to have them, but because this is one. And I can't ever, like I said, give back what they're able to do to me. And it was just one of the ways I wanted to make sure by being able to be brought back into this program by the same person that had coached me. And, you know, a lot of learning curves and just taking on. And when I was able to hopefully try and do any minimal impact that they were able to do for me, that was why I was wanting to try and do the same thing and have some type of profound impact that they were doing for me as a player and then also as a coach, because I've loved every minute of it of prior to all these situations. So, you know, that's kind of where it is.
As Dan has written about it and how a lot of people have discussed, this isn't over yet. I don't know what the next domino is to fall. I know a lot of talks going on with Staples coaches. This still needs to play out, and I don't know what's going to happen and what's going to be the next tipping point. I know there's going to be another hearing coming up for the freshman coach Chris O'Dell, but do you still hold out hope that this isn't over for you as Staples soccer coach, that smarter heads will prevail and you'll get to keep your job?
One can only hope. You know, throughout the process, we've seen anything but in terms of being there, to say the least. But it is something that, you know, he's not reiterated enough in this process. And I think, I don't know where I'd be without him especially, but with Chris O'Dell as freshman coach is what he's technically labeled, but he's 10 times more than that. And to me, and I'll never, ever be able to forget it, but along with many others who have been amazing, such as Dan, but yeah, we, myself, let alone someone else who's been here twice the time that I have, an alumni, and we hope that we are, you know, because like we said, not remote of a job finished, but something that we love the kids. We love the reason why we're here is because we love what we do, not for the money, not for anything else. It's because we want to give back, not only for the program sport we love, but because we're alumni and where we grew up, to give back and hopefully to teach the right lessons, because it's not about who's going pro. It's not about this. It's let's be honest in what it is. It's all about being able to figure out how to navigate the real world and be able to take these real life situations and how to be able to handle them appropriately and work with them and how to deal with loss and failure and all the ups and downs that comes with it.
Well, Russ, I hope I hope for next time we talk, you still have the job you should never have had put in question. And Dan knows you better than anybody, but from a media member standpoint, as someone who graduated Staples and grew up playing soccer in town, you are a role model for the kids. And I'm not just talking on the field, X's and O's, but you are the kind of coach that parents want coaching their boys. And that's why everybody's been fighting on your behalf. And I'm really sorry you've been put through this. I hope the story has the deserved happy ending. And thanks a lot for coming on here and talking about it.
No, thank you very much for having me and kind words, Dan. And let's see what happens.
Okay, keep the faith.
Dave.
Okay, talk to you soon, Russ. We're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, Steve Shackelford's going to be joining us. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything in between. It's the Rudin Report Live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back on this special episode and the saga of Staples boys soccer coach Russell Oslavinsa. Dan Woog's still on here as well and joining us right now, noted attorney. He was the co-lead counsel when Dominion Voting Systems won an $800 million settlement against Fox News. And he is also a Staples sports parent. His son, Dylan, rising captain of the boys soccer team, Steve Shackelford. Steve, thanks for taking the time here.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me, and thanks for shining a light on this situation.
It's important. And one would think the obvious question, first question would be to talk about this from sort of a legal standpoint, but really the first question should be, how's Dylan and the other guys doing?
They're upset. They all worked together to stage that walkout a week ago Friday, and they're not stopping. You know, they've got a website that people should go to if they want information about all this, Wreckers for Russ, all one word, wreckersforrus.com, and they're going to maintain that website, and they're going to keep supporting Russ. But as they said at the walkout, this is not just about Russ. They're trying to protect all their coaches, all their teachers. They're trying to ensure that something like what has happened to Russ can't happen again to coaches and teachers. Because when we protect, when we have fair process for our coaches and our teachers and our drama program and all those other folks, that protects all of us. It protects the kids. It protects the families. So that's why this is so much bigger than soccer. And the kids know that. And that's why they're fighting.
And the question I hear most in and out of Westport right now is, why would you want to even come coach at Staples right now if nobody's going to have your back? I know the current staff, other coaches are upset. I don't know if anything's going to be done. I know they've talked a lot about it, but you had to sit in that 14-hour meeting and just been dumbfounded by how it all went between testimony or witnesses that were excluded from talking to. I mean, this just looked like a one-sided case all around. The principal, Stafford Thomas, and if this was a national story, this would be the cold open on Saturday Night Live saying, I don't recall, I don't recall, I don't recall. as an attorney, how did you sit through this whole meeting with all your emotions and just from the way this case was heard?
So I want to make sure people understand the way this whole thing was set up. The board has a policy where if a coach who has been working for at least 3 years, if the superintendent decides not to renew that coach's contract, the superintendent has to give reasons that are not arbitrary and capricious. And if the coach disagrees with those reasons, the coach has the right to appeal to the Board of Ed. And the Board of Ed has to have a hearing. And at that hearing, the Board of Ed is supposed to be neutral, and they're supposed to act as both basically the judge and the jury. And that's what was set up for Russ's hearing on May the 12th. That's what was supposed to happen. And so you have two opposing parties. You have the superintendent, and you had Coach Russ, and then you have the board as the neutral. Coach Russ had his own attorney, the pro bono lawyer who represented him for free. The administration, Mr. Scarese, had his lawyers, and interestingly, he got to use the lawyers who would normally be the ones that would advise the Board of Education, Shipman and Goodwin, and then the board hired its own third law firm to advise them on procedural matters for this hearing, because they don't often have these kinds of hearings. So here's where, even before we got to the hearing, Dave, this is where things went off the rails. The lawyer for the board asked the parties, the two sides, to exchange lists of all the exhibits that they wanted to be able to introduce during the hearing and all the witnesses they wanted to call. And he let the two sides object if they wanted to the other side's witnesses and exhibits. Tom Scarese objected to 8 different witnesses that Russ intended to call and to, I think, roughly half of the exhibits he intended to introduce. And the neutral board attorney, Beatrice Franklin, the lawyer for Russ, submitted a lengthy explanation as to why all those witnesses and exhibits were relevant. And then the board's attorney ruled against Russ on every single one of them, 100%. And then when we got to the hearing, Dave, every single objection that Mr. Scarese's attorney lodged was granted by the board's attorney, 100%, 100% success rate. I've been practicing law for 20 years. I have never seen a judge rule in favor of one side and against the other side literally 100% of the time. So that was where things were going bad. And it matters because it was Russ's obligation. He had to present his case for why it was arbitrary and capricious at the hearing. He had to introduce evidence. And if the board's own attorney is excluding 8 of his witnesses and half of his exhibits that all go directly to why this was an arbitrary and capricious decision, how can anybody think he got a fair shake at that hearing? He didn't. That was one serious problem with the entire process.
Yeah, you hate to say a situation like this was rigged, but it almost looked like it was just blind support for the administration.
Well, your next guest is the one board member who asked a lot of great questions during the hearing and ended up voting in favor of reinstating Coach Russ. And I think he'll have something to tell you about the pressure he was under, including from the board's supposedly neutral attorney, not to ask those questions and not to ask so many questions about why the evidence was excluded. But we sat in that room and we watched at least a couple of other members of the Board of Ed try to ask about the excluded evidence, but we watched as the board's attorney shut them down too. So, I'm not going to put words in your mouth on what it looked like here, but certainly the process was nowhere near fair for Coach Russ. They wouldn't let him put on a case. And then they said, oh, but you got a fair shake, when he clearly didn't. And all of us who were there saw that.
As a parent of a Staples soccer player, when you heard, and there was really no reason you even should have heard, about what started all this, I mean, did you think anything of it? To me, I'm still dumbfounded that this kickball incident is what started all this, and nothing has grown into something very serious.
Yeah, there are a lot of things about this that upset me as a parent of a Staples soccer player. I do want to say it came out in the hearing that Coach Russ handled the incident exactly like you'd want somebody to. He didn't condone the assistant coach yelling at the player. He pulled him aside and said, you can't do this. This can never happen again. You need to apologize. The assistant coach apologized to the kid, and then the assistant coach apologized to the entire camp that night around the fire. And so Coach Russ did what we would want him to do. He used it as a learning experience for everybody. And that should have been it. And this idea that he's now being fired because he didn't report it to the athletic director, despite the fact that he handled it perfectly, it's nonsensical. But I just got to make sure I mention a couple of the things that have really upset me about the situation as a parent. I've heard from, and the community's heard from, a number of board members who said, look, I'm sorry, our hands were tied here. You know, arbitrary and capricious is a very narrow, you know, we had to decide whether this decision was arbitrary and capricious, and it's a very, very narrow decision we have to make. And so our hands were tied. And I just, folks, don't let them tell you that. I was at that hearing, and at that hearing, Tom Scarese's own lawyer admitted that the board's policy doesn't define what arbitrary and capricious means. And so I took this down when he said it because it was so important. Tom Scarese's lawyer said that the policy invites the board to define what you mean by your policy, what is arbitrary and capricious. Obviously, you have to decide for yourself, define what you mean by arbitrary and capricious. So, Dave, when they went back into that room to deliberate, all of them had to decide for themselves how they were going to define arbitrary and capricious. And even with, you know, two hands tied behind her back, Beatrice Franklin gave them a lot of examples of why this is arbitrary and capricious, including the complete lack of any policies or training, you know, requiring Coach Russ to report a verbal argument between a player and a coach that he handled properly. You know, we would have called witnesses on that same issue that they wouldn't allow. There's the fact that the investigation was a sham. That's another thing I'm really upset about, is that they told us, all the parents, for 7 weeks, it's an ongoing investigation. When we found out at the hearing, the investigation was over on October 25th. I mean, ask yourself, why did they drag it out for 7 weeks, misleading the community? That's another arbitrary way that Coach Russ was treated, and Coach Chris O'Dell and Coach Harry. So there's a lot about this that I think people should be upset about, that we've really got to fix as a community. Not just for Coach Russ, but for all our coaches, and so we can actually continue to bring good talent into the community.
I was going to save this to the very end to talk about with Dan, but I want you brought it up, and I think this is the appropriate time. I mentioned to Dan a couple weeks ago, if something good, well, number one, you know, Russell being reinstated should be the first step, but Staples has the opportunity here to do something that needs to be done for the school, but actually could be a model for all other towns. And that's setting up a defined guidebook for the way coaches should comport themselves. and what procedures are for different cases, and actually have everything in writing so that we don't have any kind of situations like this anymore. There should be guidelines put together, and Staples could be the model of setting something up that other schools would adopt as well, because it's needed throughout the FTAC, throughout the state, throughout the country.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, if I think the Board of Education, that's what they should have been embracing for these last. And you know what, Dave? A bunch of us in the community have been pushing them since November to do exactly that. We've been pushing the administration to actually come up with real written rules and guidelines to help everybody, parents, coaches, students. And we've been pushing them to shine a light on this. And all the administration has been doing is focusing on defending their decision and winning the fight, so to speak. That's all they seem to care about. I know you've probably seen elsewhere that nobody from the administration has reached out to the boys' soccer players since October. So all this, spare me this claim that we're just trying to do what's best for the students, when you haven't bothered to reach out to them in 6 months to ask them how they feel or to help them deal with this. And you haven't bothered to even start putting policies in place to avoid this kind of a fiasco ever happening again. So I agree with you. That's a very important thing to do.
Yeah, shame on Tom Scarese for talking about holding Westport employees to a higher standard, because the way he and the administration has handled this has been so substandard. As we finish up here, what is your side do as you continue to go forward? And do you still hold out hope that Russ will get his job back?
Dave, we're going to win. We are going to win Russ's job back. We're going to win accountability for these administrators. And we're going to win better policies and protections for all the stakeholders in the future.
Well, Steve, I certainly hope that's the case. And I really appreciate you taking the time here to come on and share the story and give us a great perspective from two different sides. And hopefully this has a happy ending and we have you back on to talk about it again.
I hope so too, Dave, and I believe it will. Thanks so much for paying attention to this.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up the show with Robert Harrington, and he's a member of the Board of Ed who voted in favor of overriding the superintendent of schools, Tom Scarese. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Coaches' interviews, game previews, and everything in between. The Rudin Report is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to finish up this special episode on the Staples boys soccer situation. The Board of Ed voted 5-1 with one abstention to uphold the superintendent of schools, Thomas Scarese's decision not to renew the contract of Russell Ust-Levinsa. And the one person who was voting on the other side joins us right now, and that's Robert Harrington. Robert, thanks a lot for taking the time here.
Good to be with you all. Thank you.
Thanks. We're running, the show's been running late. We're only going to have like about 4 or 5 minutes. I just want you to be able, first of all, just talk about why you voted the way you did. And, you know, Steve alluded to some of the pressure. I'm going to give the next couple minutes to you to say what you want to say.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. This one for me, and we got all the evidence that we were submitted the day of the 14-hour hearing. When I say all the evidence, there was a lot of evidence that was not given to us, including the ability for 8 witnesses, which I think would have been very helpful. We were handed an incomplete investigation. We were not given all the complete email sets. So based on the information that I was given, I'm very happy to defend my vote to reverse the superintendent's recommendation to non-renew. Coach Russ Ust-Levinsa, who I'd not met before the 14-hour hearing, was not involved in any physical alteration or anything to do with the student. In fact, he wasn't even the coach that was connected with anything alleged against the student. No coach at Staples High School was involved in anything whatsoever that was in any way physical, to be very clear. The coach under question that was not renewed, the head coach, Coach Russ, he was not involved in anything physical. He was not personally involved in any verbal altercation. He's charged on two things. One, not reporting the incident, even though he has a track record of reporting issues in the past with very little follow through from the administration. The issue, as we've heard earlier today, was also resolved amicably. They hugged it out as constructively, collaboratively students and players often do, and coaches do. And so he then was accused of being going to a banquet. The banquet season is outside of the soccer season. He asked permission to go. He hadn't been told explicitly he couldn't go. It isn't an event sanctioned or hosted by the school. It isn't an event hosted on school property. It is not a school event. And the superintendent nor the athletics director bothered to respond to the coach's request to go, number one. And two, when he was proactively telling them, the athletic director, he would go, he didn't get a response. So to me, as a parent and as a Board of Education member, I am proud that he is that he went to the banquet to represent the students and provide leadership. And the superintendent, the athletics director, or Staples principal, when there was a lack of leadership in a soccer program, none of those three leaders for the school district bothered to turn up or bothered to even think about going to the banquet, which I find disgraceful.
You wrote a very strong piece in the Westport Journal calling for Vijay Cerullo, the athletic director, to step down, to be let go. What led you to write that piece?
Because he hasn't provided the leadership for the athletics department. There's been no outreach whatsoever, no written email, no meeting of the players since the very last day of January. That's almost 6 months ago. No leadership from the athletics head of our department. There is no coach's handbook. He submitted, either knowingly or he was confused, a false, misleading, exaggerated report to DCF about a physical incident with a student. That did not occur, and I believe that we learned in the testimony for 14 hours that he knew that there was no physical assault when he submitted that DCF report. He was right to submit that report. He was wrong to submit the words he submitted to. And so the fact that there's no leadership, the fact that we don't even have a coach's handbook in our district, and we've had an incomplete investigation, that's what riles me the most. A complete, incomplete lack of thorough investigation. And that, for those reasons, that's why he should step down. And to my colleagues on the Board of Ed, who I respect them, they're great leaders of our community, but I would challenge any of those at a board meeting, on this show, in writing, can they defend the thoroughness of the investigation? And I don't think you're going to hear from any of them that they can.
Robert, thanks a lot. This case takes so much more than an hour, and we really had to squeeze everything in. More I wanted to talk about, and I want to thank Dan. Thanks for staying on the whole show.
Sure.
Thanks to Steve, Russell, Robert. If anything more happens, and more will happen, I'm going to give this time here because it's important. That's this week's Rudin Report Live. We'll be back talking FCAC playoffs next week. Have a good 7 days, everybody.